It seems that history is doomed to repeat itself as today we find ourselves entrenched in the middle of several global conflicts. There's a conflict between Ukraine and Russia, Hamas and Israel, a security crisis triggered by North Korea, conflict in Central America, and more. This unrest all over the world puts more than half of the countries in a crisis of health, economy, and social safety, which is the biggest threat to human civilization. I'm Christy Eye, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we will analyze how much it costs countries to maintain, sustain, and grow their military capabilities. Military spending is a significant part of many countries' budgets and differs from nation to nation. Not surprisingly, the U.S. has the largest military budget, spending $877 billion. The next largest military spender is China, but only at $292 billion, followed by Russia at $86 billion. India and Saudi Arabia round out the top five with budgets of $81 and $75 billion, respectively. Now, the top five countries alone account for almost 60% of the global military spending, with the U.S. spending more than the next 11 countries combined. As each country has unique security challenges and geopolitical objectives that then shape its military spending priorities. With the conflict in Ukraine, world military spending grew for the eighth consecutive year in 2022 to an all-time high of $2.2 trillion, which is the sharpest rise in spending in recent years. In the U.S., defense spending accounts for 12% of all federal spending and nearly half of discretionary spending. From that, it pays the salaries, the training, and health care of uniformed and civilian personnel, maintain arms, equipment, and facilities, fund operations, and develop and to buy new items for R&D. Additionally, a significant portion of the budget goes towards procuring new weapon systems, including aircrafts, ships, and other vehicles. Weapon systems are a big factor that eats into the budget. Now, for an average weapon system over its entire service life, the purchase price is only a third of the cost. Operating and maintaining and purchasing new munitions for it accounts for nearly two-thirds. The budget also funds the Army, the Navy, the Marine, Air Force, and Space Force. Now, in 2018, the U.S. military budget accounts for approximately 36% of global arms spending. The U.S. also maintains the largest number of military bases in foreign soils in the world. In terms of military power, the Global Firepower Index offers insight into the military capabilities of nations worldwide. Now, this is based on an assessment of over 60 factors, including manpower, technological capabilities, nuclear capabilities, strategic locations, financing, logistics, military assets, etc. Now, according to this index, the U.S. boasts the world's most powerful military, followed by Russia, China, India, the UK, South Korea, Pakistan, Japan, and France. On the opposite end of the spectrum, the least powerful nations include Bhutan, Benin, Moldova, Somalia, and Liberia. This is due to limited resources, geopolitical factors, or a commitment to maintaining smaller defense forces. Now, with the big inequality gap in military powers in smaller nations, NATO countries have set forth an agreement to raise the alliance's target for military spending to at least 2% of national GDP. However, only 11 out of the 31 members actually managed to reach that target. Western officials have underscored that many allies will have to spend more than 2% to meet the requirements of NATO's new military plans and continue to provide aid. Now today, we're joined by Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs. Now, Keith, can you provide an overview of global military expenditures and the total amount spent on defense by various countries in recent years?
Yeah, I think that the largest countries by far are first the United States, which spent $876 billion last year on its military. And that's the overt number that they spent, because we do not know really about CIA and other covert military operations. Then the next largest is actually China, with $292 billion that it spent in 2022. And then Russia, oddly enough, only spent $81 billion on its military. NATO, on the other hand, spent $1,232 billion on the military. So it's kind of shocking that there would be a war against Russia in Ukraine by NATO and the U.S., and the level of spending that those two groups spent, which is also both the NATO countries and the U.S. or the other countries basically suffering the most in homelessness and economic depravity. So it's pretty incredible that they spent that much money, yet they're at a standstill in the front in the Ukraine war.
Now, what are the key factors contributing to the substantial financial investments made by countries in their military forces?
Well, I think the principal thing, sadly, is the domestic issues, which, though it's about in the United States, and I'm certain this is in other countries as well, is that, for instance, the U.S. makes sure that components of almost every piece of military hardware are made in every single congressional district in the country. So it's a combination of military contractors using their leverage to get the U.S. federal taxpayers to pay this huge amount of money. But also it's about control, because you have, for instance, a lot of the information that I glean about what's going on with military and expenses on websites that are controlled by military contractors like, you know, NBC and so on. So they are tied into a whole propaganda situation. It's also, they have leverage over these congresspeople. They're not going to back out of wars. But I think even globally, not only is it about profits for these, for military contractors and control domestically, but also it's used, mostly wars, for instance, with the U.S. have been wars of choice. And it's wars of choice to build popular support for either the president at the time, for instance, after 9/11, George Bush before 9/11 was ridiculed even by other conservatives and Republicans for being a doofus. And then he became like really super popular because he was in the middle of a war. We can see that that's a lot of the reason for Biden waging a war against Russia. And this war could get much bigger if he starts to look like he's losing, can't possibly win the presidential election. And then we will have to have U.S. troops actually go head-to-head with the Russian military, mainly for domestic purposes. So it's to create patriotism and so on. And then for the smaller countries, sadly, it's really their military spending is in many cases either to buy weapons from the United States, as the way Saudi Arabia and others have, to stay in the good graces of the United States, or you're a country that is being threatened with war by the United States. So, for instance, Syria or, Russia or any of the many countries the United States has invaded since basically the War of 1812, they people have to arm themselves to defend themselves against the United States. And we can see that the U.S. military started, and we have the Marine Corps song, is about halls of Montezuma, where the U.S. invaded Mexico, or where they really did not win in that war, or the shores of Tripoli, where half the U.S. Navy was destroyed in their first foreign conflict. And so this is the sad thing, that the world is essentially, particularly since World War II, been arming itself to defend itself against the United States.
And why do some countries allocate a significant portion of their budgets to defense? Are there specific concerns or geopolitical factors that drive this decision?
Well, I think, again, in each of the cases, either you are trying to defend yourself from the United States, or you are trying to court the United States, often more financially than anything else. So, and I think like the Five Eyes countries, which would be Australia and I believe New Zealand, definitely Great Britain, the U.S. and Canada, they are, you know, they essentially spy on one another for each other, but they also sell each other weapons and invest in weapons systems for that same reason. And it's essentially to control their societies. It's the military budgets have made it impossible to have democracies in these countries, unfortunately. And that's because our money goes to that. They control events. They have the top priority. If you look at the war in Ukraine right now, there's not been one vote by the American people for this war. We didn't have a say in the overthrow of the Ukrainian government in 2014 when the war started on May 3rd of that year in Odessa. We had no, you know, most Americans have no idea that we spent billions of dollars to overthrow the Ukrainian government and install our own puppet regime there in a long-term plan to have a very long ongoing war in that country, which would then profit mostly U.S. Military contractors, but also would profit European contractors and British contractors. So it's sad that this is where, you know, the reason we're wasting this huge amount of money, but maybe even more tragically, the millions of people who are being killed in this just for basically domestic political interests, mainly the interest of propping up a huge financial bonanza for these military contractors.
Thank you so much, Keith, but please stick around. The founder of Food Not Bombs, Keith McHenry, will stay with us right here after the break. And when we come back, we will discuss what country has the heftiest military budget in the world. So don't go away.
The U.S. and its closest allies refuse to give peace a chance in Ukraine and Palestine. The word peace is not part of their lexicon. In the meantime, Israel has been given the green light to do whatever it chooses, including ignoring international law, as well as sidelining the rules of war.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact. Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
While the U.S. tops a list of the biggest military budget, the country that spends the most on military and defense as a percentage of its GDP is surprisingly Oman at 8.8%, followed by Saudi Arabia at 9.5%, Algeria at 6%, Kuwait at 5.6%, and Israel at 5.3%. The U.S. actually doesn't even crack the top 10 as a percentage of GDP. Now, in some countries, of age cohorts are required to complete military service. Among them are Angola and South Sudan in Africa, as well as Finland, Austria, and Switzerland in Europe. And in Asia, there's Vietnam, Laos, North and South Korea, as well as Taiwan, that still require universal military service. There are around 85 countries worldwide that have some form of obligatory military training, even though this practice is controversial for many reasons, including opposition on religious grounds. However, it is enforced by countries to build a large and powerful military ready to be deployed in times of war or when the need to protect the sovereignty of the state arises. Mandatory military service can promote national unity so citizens are able to develop an appreciation for the sacrifices others have made for their country. It also promotes equality among citizens, as mandatory enlistment means that no one will be exempted from facing wars, including celebrities, businessmen, or others. Life in the military can also provide useful skills and instill discipline, cooperation, responsibility, and teamwork. But on the other hand, mandatory military service violates free will, interferes with educational pursuits, and compromises the quality of the military, as not everyone is fit for it, physically or psychologically. Many draft soldiers often lack the necessary experience and preparedness, providing low combat skill quality. One notable force in particular is the Israeli Defense Force, which is the national military of Israel. The IDF is unique among the militaries of the world due to its regulated conscriptions of women since the formation. It is one of the most prominent institutions in Israeli society due to its influence on the country's economy and political scene. They can be called upon to serve periodically until the age of 40. After Hamas lost its attack, Israel has called up to 360,000 reservists within 48 hours to launch an offensive. Many Israelis abroad are even heading home to join the reserve units or to give aid. This is one of its largest mobilizations in history, of roughly 4% of Israel's 9.8 million population to take up arms against the Palestinian militant group. It is also one of the fastest mobilizations in history, which is impossible for most nations. In terms of cold start capabilities, the IDF remains unmatched by the rest of the world. Now for this and more, let's bring in again Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs. Now, Keith, is there a growing debate or discussion about reallocating funds from military budgets to address other pressing issues such as healthcare, education, or environmental concerns?
There has been, like, below the surface for years, this debate. But this war in Ukraine has flipped everything on its head. And so what seems it's very interesting, because the Republicans now are kind of leading the struggle in this debate, something I would have never imagined. And for some reason, the hunger helpline, instead of being really addressing the issue of hunger or homelessness, has been just shared with health insurance companies across the country. So I'm getting about a dozen to two dozen calls a day from seniors seeking food, home delivery of food, something sadly Food Not Bombs doesn't have the resources to do. But I am shocked at how often the people that call in will complain they have no food in their pantry at all. They might tell me about some cat food that they're going to eat, or the last three cans of tuna, and they're angry as can be that we send billions of dollars to the war in Ukraine. So there's this bubbling in the United States of average people. We're starting to see the connection between food and not bombs. And to me, that's really exciting. I think, you know, we started Food Not Bombs in 1980 when Reagan looked like he might become president. Then he became president, and then he did what we believed he would do, which was divert the public spending. In those days, we used to have public housing and things like that. And instead, he diverted it into Star Wars and into MX missile system and all of those kind of things. And by the end of his second term, we had 750,000 homeless Americans in the United States, according to the U.S. government. And you know, they didn't even count the homeless when he came to office. So we are now, we proposed in 1980 that we need to build a movement where our focus was on things like food, housing, and education, and not on the military. And now I think we may be getting to that tipping point where Food Not Bombs in the, maybe our message is finally coming through, that we really need to be looking at feeding our people and not just draining our resources into the military.
And what are some examples of countries that have successfully shifted resources away from military spending to fund other national priorities, and what were their outcomes?
So actually, the only country that I know that specifically did that was Costa Rica. And they've had, you know, they're a very stable, peaceful place. And, you know, and but to have that little tiny country be the country that successfully did that is kind of disappointing. Now, I think a lot of the smaller countries, you know, have very little resources overall anyway. And so their defense budget is, you know, it's probably just for local graft itself. But I don't think that there's any country that I was aware of anyway. Maybe there's a country. It would be great to find out if there's some other country like Costa Rica that actually had a large military budget and then reduced it and then provided for their people. I you know, this is a world basically where money talks and where military spending forces basically the hands of every country, and it's really a shame.
And how does a country's level of military spending compare to its global counterparts, and what insights can we gain from these comparisons?
Well, in the countries that do spend the least amount of money on the military tend to have much better health outcomes, much better, higher levels of education, and are much more, there's much more less violence in their countries and so on. And I would not say any of these countries are perfect, but definitely these countries do a lot better because their focus, and even countries that do have relatively large military spending, but that's a smaller percentage of their total budgets, have done really well. For example, I would say Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Denmark did not until they became involved in this war in Ukraine, have that massive of military budgets, but they did have, universal health care, education, and so on. It's been kind of tragic to see the collapse of Canada, because that was a very stable country and had a relatively small military budget. But it, too, has gone the route of militarism visiting even in the 90s in Canada, the homeless population was really relatively small. That has been just ballooning in recent years. And it's a very wealthy country with massive amounts of resources. And yet it has these really desperate outcomes where their population, where they're now even advocating people use their MAID, medical assistance in dying, as a way to alleviate poverty. And if that trend takes off, the world is in real trouble.
Thank you so much, Keith, for your time and insight. Experts say that prioritizing defense spending over infrastructure investments might undermine economic growth in the long run. Now, COVID-19 proved that the American priority on national security has been focused on the wrong threat. As U.S. defense expenditures rose in 2020 to $778 billion, a third of small U.S. businesses closed either temporarily or for forever. High levels of military expenditures are often identified as a major source of wasted resources that could otherwise be directed towards human needs. The Global Campaign on Military Spending has called for a global reduction of 10% in military spending with resources directed to development purposes. However, with the escalating global conflict these days, that seems highly unlikely. And then the biggest loser ends up being the taxpaying citizens, as infrastructure, healthcare, and other services are depleted. I'm Christy Eye. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.